Good afternoon. So I'm going to be talking to you about a comparative study we did on Escherichia coli 0157 testing methods. So shigatoxin producing E. coli 0157 is the most commonly isolated serogroup of shigatoxin producing E. coli, or STEC. It can cause a range of illness from mild diarrhea to hemolytic uremic syndrome, or HUS. And HUS is a life-threatening condition that can lead to acute kidney failure. And most HUS cases occur in children, and 5 to 14% of children with confirmed 0157 develop HUS. So 0157 transmission in daycare settings is common. Children and daycare workers who test positive for 0157 in Minnesota are excluded from attendance until they test negative on two consecutive samples submitted at least 24 hours apart. And 0157 can be readily identified by culture using selective and differential media. Culture-independent methods for detecting shigatoxin have also been increasingly adopted by clinical laboratories, and CDC recommends that all stool specimens get simultaneously cultured for 0157 and tested for shigatoxin. And so, as of 2012 in Minnesota, 74 clinical laboratories regularly test for enteric pathogens. Of those 74 laboratories, 60 performed 0157 culture on all stool specimens submitted, and 33 used culture-independent detection of shigatoxin, with 29 using culture-independent detection in conjunction with culture, and 4 using only culture-independent methods without any 0157 culture. And 26 labs utilized the ImmunoCARD-STAT-EHEC test, which the ImmunoCARD-STAT-EHEC test, or ICS, is it produced by Meridian Bioscience Incorporated and is an immunochromatographic rapid test that was licensed by the FDA to provide qualitative detection of shigatoxins 1 and 2 antigens, or ST1 and ST2. So the Minnesota Department of Health, or MDH, tests for 0157 and shigatoxin by culture using CT sorbitol McConkey agar, or SMAC, culture augmented by immunomagnetic separation, or IMS, and PCR to detect the genes that produce shigatoxin, STX1 and STX2. So the objective of this study was to evaluate the performance of the ICS test as it compares to other traditional methods for 0157 detection. And so for our methods, our study period extended from January 1st to December 31st, 2012, and included all stool specimens submitted to the 0157 test, or for 0157 testing to the Minnesota Department of Health as part of daycare exclusion testing, or was part of an 0157 daycare outbreak investigation. Daycare testing was selected for a number of reasons. People are tested over time, and in outbreaks, the entire cohort is tested regardless of symptoms. And so specimens that were submitted were tested by ICS, traditional culture on CT-SMAC, culture augmented with IMS, and PCR. All of these tests, with the exception of ICS, are standard testing practices used by MDH for the detection of 0157. Concordant or discordant results were compared, regardless of the presence of symptoms. And so in addition to looking at the overall performance between the four testing methods, performance was also compared among symptomatic individuals in four progressive time intervals after the initial onset of symptoms. The first interval included specimens that were collected within 1 week of symptom onset. The second interval included the second and third week after onset. The third interval was the fourth and fifth weeks after onset. And the fourth interval included everything beyond 5 weeks after symptom onset. And so each person with the specimen that was detected by MDH was interviewed by MDH staff about illness history, either a standard and using a standard surveillance questionnaire or an outbreak investigation specific questionnaire. So for our results, in total, there were six daycare-associated outbreak 0157 outbreaks in Minnesota during the study period, with a total of 93 individuals that provided 283 specimens, and there were 17 sporadic cases that provided 76 specimens, and 76 outbreak cases that provided 207 specimens. The median specimens provided for each patient or for each case was 2 specimens, and the overall range was 1 to 17 specimens. And we had a total of 33 cases that tested positive for 0157 and 109 total specimens that were positive. And so this table outlines the comparisons of ICS to all testing methods, including this study's gold standard, which was testing positive by PCR, culture, and/or IMS. As you can see, not every specimen was tested by all four methods. Looks like culture, there were 282 that were tested by culture, 260 by IMS, and then 270 that were tested by PCR, and then 283 total. So when comparing ICS to culture, IMS and PCR in the gold standard, 13 to 28% of specimens were discordant. The specificity for ICS stayed at 99% or above, and the sensitivity ranged from 21% against IMS to 45% against culture. The positive predictive value of ICS was at least 93% for each comparison, and the negative predictive value was 86% against culture, 71% against IMS, 83% against PCR, and was 69% against the gold standard. Well, where's this? There it is. So here's a table comparing the number of positive ICS specimens with the number of positive culture, PCR, and IMS specimens for all symptomatic and asymptomatic persons who had tested positive. In the first box, where culture is compared to ICS, there were 66 total specimens that were positive by either method, with 29 specimens being positive by both culture and IMS. And in the next box, it's shown that 35 specimens were positive by ICS but not culture. Culture but not ICS. And in the final box, you'll see that there's two specimens that were positive by ICS but not positive by culture. And so then you'll see down in PCR versus ICS, there were 28 specimens that were positive by both methods, with 40 positive by PCR only, and then two that were positive by ICS but not PCR. And then there were 70 specimens that were positive by IMS and not by ICS, and one that was positive by ICS and not by PCR. And so this table demonstrates the percentage of discrepancies between ICS and each testing method over each of those four time intervals that I mentioned previously. As can be seen by this table, the percentage of discrepancies fluctuates as time increases between symptom onset and collection date. The most discrepancies occur between ICS and IMS, with 22, 54, 36, and 38% of specimens being discrepant in each of the four time intervals. Weeks 2 and 3 had the highest percentage of discrepancies for each testing method, with 29, 54, and 30% of specimens discrepant between ICS, IMS, and PCR, respectively. Almost all of the discrepancies seen in this table are a result of ICS testing negative, while IMS culture and PCR tested positive. So these are the positive and negative predictive values for ICS when compared to the gold standard over the same four time intervals. Again, the gold standard in this study is being positive by any other of the testing methods. No specimens tested negative by gold standard in the first time interval, but in each of the following time intervals, the negative predictive value was 30, 59, and 56% respectively, and the positive predictive remained at 100% throughout. And so this graph gives a breakdown of the median days positive for each testing method as calculated by subtracting the date of symptom onset from the date of collection. As can be seen, IMS was positive the longest with a median detection time of 22 days. Culture and PCR were the second longest with a median detection time of 20 days. And ICS was the lowest with a median detection time of 14 days. Both PCR and ICS test for the presence of shigatoxin production, with PCR looking for the STX1 and STX2 gene, and ICS looking for the ST1 and ST2 antigen. We compared ICS's ability to detect ST2 to PCR's ability to detect STX2 over each time interval. And beginning in the first time interval, 79% were positive for STX2 by PCR. 79% that were of the specimens positive for STX2 were positive for ST2 by ECS. But then this declined down to 31% in the second and third time intervals to 31%, and then 25% in the last time interval. Overall, less than half the specimens positive for STX2 by PCR were positive by ST2 at 49%. So overall, ICS had the worst performance out of all the testing methods analyzed in this study. Even though it had a good positive predictive value against the gold standard, the overall negative predictive value was low. Among symptomatic cases, ICS remained positive for the least amount of time, and it also had a decreased ability to detect the presence of ST2 when compared to PCR's detection of STX2 gene. Culture was able to detect almost every ICS positive specimen, with ICS missing over half of culture positive specimens. The negative predictive value of ICS when using culture as a gold standard was 86%, meaning that 14% of all specimens tested by both ICS and culture were incorrectly resulted as negative by ICS. So the inability of ICS to detect many of the positive specimens and its low negative predictive value demonstrates that ICS is not an ideal method to screen for E. coli 157 and should not be used for exclusionary testing at clinical or state laboratories. This is consistent with the CDC's recommendations that require all clinical specimens in which E. coli 157 is suspected be tested by at least culture-based methods. So overall, 15% of specimens tested by both PCR and ICS were discrepant. ICS was able to detect ST2 in less than half of specimens that were positive by STX2 gene by PCR. In fact, ICS identified fewer positive specimens even within 1 week of onset, with its ability to detect ST2 continuing to decrease over time. These results highlight the importance of using PCR at a public health laboratory for the detection of STX2 gene. So when comparing IMS to PCR, IMS identified positive specimens the longest out of all the testing methods, as it can pick up very small amounts of organism. PCR and culture tested positive the second longest, which indicates that PCR is not positive simply due to the detection of dead organisms. So using ICS daycare for daycare exclusion of sporadic 0157 cases or in the context of an outbreak investigation will result in infected persons returning before they stop shedding. ICS had low negative predictive value when compared to other testing methods and identified positive specimens for the least amount of time compared to other testing methods. Clinical laboratories should continue to follow the CDC's recommendation of using culture-based methods as the gold standard for testing stool specimens for 0157. If performed, culture-independent methods should be performed in conjunction with a standard culture. The performance of other independent methods, like the new multiplex PCR panels compared to culture, ICS, and other tests, is unknown at this time. Therefore, these methods should also be used in conjunction with culture at a laboratory. And so I'd just like to thank all the other authors on this study, and that's it.
So I think we have some time for some questions before we wrap up this session. So go at the mic if you have a question.
Okay, I know it was that good, but not that good.
We're shocked.
All right. Oh, yeah, we got one.
So I know we all struggle with this, but I'm just wondering what Minnesota is thinking of for their going forward plan with all these culture-independent methods.
What?
Maybe not performing the gold standard, not just E. coli, but other things.
Yeah, you know, I'm not entirely sure, and you know, like I said before too, we only know for 2012 what laboratories are doing for culture independent testing, and unfortunately, I think that more laboratories are probably employing culture independent methods. But as for what Minnesota is planning to do moving forward, I guess I can't really say. I don't know, partially because I'm not there anymore, but maybe Josh knows.
Well, I would say that, so we have it written into our kind of our reporting statutes for the lab that they have to submit either an isolate or, you know, if they're using just the non-culture methods, they have to submit some sort of specimen. It's a lot more work for our lab when they do that, so they're not happy about that. We are seeing some people kind of, you know, do both in conjunction, so still do culture. Or reflex, so if it tests positive by the non-culture method, then go back and do the culture. So I don't know. I think everyone's kind of struggling with how we're going to deal with this in the future.
Like whether or not they should go back to daycare. Yeah, when they're sending, they're not. I don't know. Well, Dana,
who's our
data
expert?
Yeah,
I am asking
for you
That concludes our session. If everyone would give one round of applause to our speakers, I think they did a great job.